Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Listen to Rahimi Harrison Grody on the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps.
What do you think new offensive line wise? Like, do you know who your left tackle is going to be?
We have a good idea who our left tackle is.
All I heard there was the typing. Also, Robbie, you stumbled into something. This used to be the old Parkins Open. This was the Danny Parkins Show Open.
I mean,
can you do it's it my as dad. Well as Danny's on the next segment, so that's really appropriate. This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score. Clay Harbor is in for a second segment with us. And it was something, Clay, that we talked about in our pre-show meeting yesterday. Mark gave us the latest from Hallis Hall on Tuesday. And it did sound a bit concerning when it came to the discussion surrounding the tackles.
Yeah, I mean, it does. I would not be surprised if we saw Theo Benedet out there starting at left tackle, and if Darnell Wright is not healthy, it would be Ozzie Trapillo. I don't know if I consider, I mean, it's nice to hear your second round pick would be playing. You don't necessarily want that to be at the expense of a first round selection in Darnell Wright. And then I guess it's the Theo Benedet thing, which is the most interesting part of this. Does Braxton Jones deserve to be benched?
Well, here's the thing. If you benched him last game and you put in Theo Benedet, and Theo Benedet held his own without a week of practice with the ones, not getting the snaps in there, not hearing Caleb call the plays, not getting all the fronts that you're getting from the team you're playing against, he deserves a play this week. Now you got a week of game planning exactly who you're playing against. You got a week of being in, more than a week, obviously, with the bye week. You got some time to really kind of get used to what you're going to be doing, to watch that film. As much as you say you don't want to get ready, you want to stay ready as a backup, when you get thrown in there in the middle of the game, Grody, I'm sorry, man, I've been there. It's not the same as going into a week knowing you are starting and that is going to be you taking those snaps. As much as you say, hey, I got to be ready. You're ready for game one, game two, game three, game four, game five, game six, all of a sudden game eight, Brent Celek goes down with a concussion in the second half. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm up. You know, I'm playing. Yeah, I've been preparing for this, but it takes you a while to settle down. Give Theo the opportunity to go in here knowing mentally you are playing. I think he'll do a good job for you. I think he's going to have a solid game if it is Theo, what we're thinking, playing here. I think he'll do a good job for you, and he deserves an opportunity. Braxton Jones had the opportunity to slam the door, say, this is my job. I'm coming into a contract year. There is no way I'm going to let an undrafted free agent in a second year from somewhere in Canada take my spot. But you know, he did. So I think you give Theo the opportunity. What scares me is, like you said, now we got Ozzie Trapillo. It's possibly, we don't know. We've seen Darnell Wright on the opposite fields in the media availability, not really practicing.
Always with somebody, a coach or trainer.
So is he going to play, or is it Ozzie Trapillo? Because the matchup for me that gives me concern is Dorrance Armstrong.
Yeah.
He's an 8-year vet. He has 33.5 sacks in his career. He's usually like a 6, 7, 8 sack guy. But so far this season, he's got 5 and he's playing out of his mind. I turn on some tape. I go, how's Dorrance Armstrong all of a sudden becoming this guy? He's just leveraging, long-arming, strong. He's not the quickest, the most athletic dude. If that's Darnell Wright, I say, okay, I like that matchup. With Ozzie Trapillo, a rookie, it starts getting a little concerning. Yes, I believe in Ozzie Trapillo. I think he's going to be a great player. But this guy is a rookie, and Dorrance Armstrong is an 8-year vet that has almost 40 career sacks. So that would be something that would concern me. So hopefully we can get Darnell out there. If not, you know, I think Ozzie can still hold his own, but that is something to look at.
Well, and you know what else is, if I'm Dan Quinn on the other side, and you're always trying to think about what your opponent is going to do, and I think to myself, undrafted left tackle on one side, rookie on the other, blitzes left and right, because who's going to know whose job it is to slide protection and how you're picking it up?
How fast, like, can Von Miller run still?
But that's fast enough, and that's the point. But like that's what you're trying to do, right? The obvious counter to that, if you're a line still trying to figure out assignments and all of that, and it's not something that has been rehearsed and practiced and played in for weeks on end, you're probably going to see more of that happening, because I think Caleb Williams is still working on that as well, just slide protection assignments and how that's going.
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to definitely see a difference in a game plan if Darnell Wright's playing, and obviously if you got a rookie and a second-year guy playing there in the offensive line, you're probably going to see more simulated pressures. You're probably going to see more actual pressures. You're going to see the mug looks. You're going to see some fire, some slot blitzes. It's something that you do, and it's just like when you're playing against Jaden Daniels. Like, sometimes you'll see a defense change. Like, when I was playing with Michael Vick, I played with Michael Vick for 4 years. You know, you're watching film of this team playing their defense, but you always got to keep in mind a lot of teams play Mike a little bit different because Mike can run. Mm-hmm. So a team that does a ton of man-to-man, now they're going to play a lot of zone, so obviously their eyes are forward. They can see if the quarterback scrambles. You got to play this running quarterback a little bit different than you do a guy that's going to just sit back there and, you know, like a statue and throw the football.
Why has Bobby Wagner been so good for so long, the middle linebacker of Washington? 35 years old now, and still, like, he's like, he reminds me of Harrison Smith in Minnesota. Different position, but same type of thing, where just good every year no matter what.
I remember playing against him in the last playoff game I played in. That was with the Detroit Lions in 2016 at Seattle Seahawks. And Bobby Wagner, he is just so intelligent. So we had this play where I motioned in the backfield, and I'm basically a fullback, and we run an ISO on him. And he comes downfield like a barbarian, and I just cut the crap out of him. I just cut him. Back then, I don't know if you could still do that, but I cut him.
I don't think so.
And he starts saying some words I can't repeat on here to me. Blah, 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 you know, whatever. So we go back into the game, and sometimes you get away with running the same play a few times. Instead of me motioning in the backfield, you know, I tell coach, I go, hey, just send me from the opposite side or let me start in the backfield, just so a guy like him can't pick up on that. So, okay, we're just going to start you in the backfield and we're going to motion somebody else. You try to dress up these plays you had success on. We gash him for 20 yards in that play. We do that same play. I line up offset this time instead of in the eye, and we send a different motion. He's calling out the play. Mm. We dressed this whole thing up, Brody.
Wow.
We put in a different package.
Damn.
This is the same Christmas present, completely different package. He knows what's coming.
And guess who
doesn't come downhill that fast this time and doesn't give me the opportunity to cut him? Bobby Wagner. That's the type of guy he is.
Wow,
that is why he's so good. And I remember that. And he starts talking a little bit of trash to me because I don't get the cut. And he maybe pushes me back a little bit. And I'm like, dang it, man. I thought we had him.
Thanks for sharing.
Dressed this thing up. But he still figured it out and stopped us in the backfield after we had a 20-something yard game. Bobby Wagner, yes, he's physical, he's fast, but he is one of the more intelligent linebackers in the league.
Too. Oh, yeah. No!
Yeah. Oh, my God. I would do this. If I was that good, I'd do the same thing. The end result of the play, yard sale. Like, lay him out.
Yeah.
God, that's good.
You ain't cut me this time.
By the way, what about my Redbirds, man? I hear you've been calling Illinois State games and some of those Dakota teams that drive
some
everybody crazy.
All I know is
the Dakota teams are really good, man. Don't underestimate the Dakotas.
All right. I know the time's almost up here, but Grody, your Redbirds are looking good, man. I think they're ranked 6th in the country. I've been calling the Redbirds game. Tommy Rittenhouse, shout out to the quarterback out there.
Yeah.
Brock's back. Great coach. But this North Dakota State team, number one in FCS, I'm giving you guys a name. I think I already forgot his name, but Cole Payton.
It's a good name.
Left-handed
name resonates around here.
It's some character from Yellowstone.
Cole Swayze
Bozeman.
You guys know quarterbacks, Carson Wentz, North Dakota State, Trey Lance, North Dakota State. The next first-round quarterback from North Dakota State is Cole Payton. This guy can run a 4.5, jump 40 inches, jump 10 foot in the broad, throw the ball 70 yards, is an absolute freak in his main target. his number one wide receiver, Bryce Lance, Trey Lance's little brother, is also going to be a draft pick. Both of these guys, I'm trying to call this game Missouri Valley Game of the Week, but I'm like, man, these guys are definitely playing in the league. You don't see that a lot in FCS.
I would just like to take this time to let you all know that North Texas is 5-0.
Let's go.
We play a ranked opponent in USF Hawks on Friday night.
Or Tigers, or what's their names?
Mean Green.
Eagles. Mean Green.
Yeah.
Mean Green.
People, if they make the playoff, you might not see me. I might have to go to the game.
Fair enough. Denton?
We used to have a shirt that said, winning is for losers. This would be big for us. Clay Harbor, always a fun time.
Winning
thanks for the analysis. And the small schools representing with Missouri State, Illinois State.
Missouri State was on national television yesterday.
Nice.
We're on ESPN2.
Wednesday night action.
Yeah, a little Wednesday night. Conference USA now. We bumped up.
Weren't you guys, didn't you guys used to be Southwest Missouri State?
We were Southwest Missouri State, yeah, SMS.
And they made it a little bit easier to digest.
My freshman year, Missouri State. And now we're actually in the FBS in Conference USA.
Wow. Let's go. This feels good. This has been great stuff today, Clay.
Until David Hodges texted me the nickname.
Is this Hall?
Clay, morning, Ruthie. Clay morning, Molly. Faker.
Why?
Oh, there it is. The Clay Faker.
How do you feel about that?
How do you feel about that?
I'll talk to Hall about this later.
Morning, Clay. What's up, Clay?
Yeah.
What's up? You ready? Let's do the show. Big pro football show.
You can see that big pro football show tonight at 5:30 on CHSN. It is Clay, David, and Ruthie. Clay, thanks as always for coming in.
My pleasure, guys. Appreciate you having me.
Thanks,
and,
dude.
And you heard the music. Danny Parkins next on Raheemy Harris and Grody on 670 The Score.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
He is our guy. He's just a little farther away now. He's just a little farther down the street. The street goes to New York. Danny Parkins joins us here in Raheemy Harris and Grody. He is at Danny Parkins on X. You can check him out in the newly expanded First Things First from 4 to 5 on Fox Sports 1. Danny Parkins also joining us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. And apparently, according to the word on the street, tweeted confidently, bring on the Brewers. While we're here, how do you feel like it has been brought in, Danny?
Yeah, they might be better. Yeah, the Brewers might be better.
Oh.
But if only the Cubs manager would call the home run play more. You know, my God, what is going on with this discourse of, like, I love David Haw. I love him, but I'm going to call him out right now. Did he say the manager was slumping? Did he say the manager was like, that's not a thing.
He's had some bad moments.
Turner was too cute. Like, it just was.
He did leave Shota Imanaga in a game long enough for your guy, the one who you wanted with the Cubs, Manny Machado, to hit a home run when he could have put him on first base or brought in Soroka from the bullpen.
Was that what you meant when you said Chicago wants Machado?
Are you just ignoring anything that Craig does poorly in this series,
no,
Danny? What's going on, man?
No, I'm not Grody, and I'm thrilled that you were able to come into work today. but I was. Here's what I would say. And listen, I will admit my bias. Obviously, I am friends with Craig Council. Everyone is biased. You can, you know, trust the people, but it's not like I'm talking to him all the time. I wished him luck before the playoffs started, and that is the extent of it. Does it feel like they are a manager away from winning this series? Like, does it feel like they are close?
It's not
a rhetorical question.
It's not that. I think it is the Craig Tober, Craig Tember months combo, and then you see what's happening with short rest for Matthew Boyd, and that unfortunately blows up, you know, as a decision. You end up using your bullpen anyway early after an inning. Yeah, it's that type of thing.
But
that
like,
I think,
but like Colin,
that I think
Colin
causes
Rhea,
issue.
Colin Rhea, he is 34 years old and zero career playoff starts is the answer.
Who? Or,
whatever his name is.
Colin Ray.
Ray,
whatever. And then and then Javier Assad, not even on the playoff roster. Like, let's just go through some of these numbers. Ian Happ, OPS in the playoffs, 460. I assume we want Ian Happ in the lineup.
I mean, there's no other choice, right? Like, who else are you going to put out there? Who else do you trust in left field, quite frankly?
Right. No. That. Who else are you going to put out there? Pete Crow Armstrong. We want him out there, right?
Yes. Check.
OPS of 455 in the playoffs.
Not
Kyle
great.
Tucker. Kyle Tucker. We want him out there, right?
He's there.
He's a bit of a mystery man right now. But yes, Danny. Yes. Check mark.
Yeah. OPS under 600. Dansby Swanson,
yes.
Right? Unbelievable.
Swanee.
Glove. One playoff game for you against the Padres, right? We want him out here?
Yeah. Yep.
Right? Yeah, I think so. I agree. OPS of 523. Like, players need to hit, and then the front office needs to give you the enough arms to throw out there. This is they are not a manager away. The Brewers are better. It pains me to say it, but they are just better. So Rhea, whatever the hell the guy's name is, like, he's not the answer here. And if the Cubs come back and win, then I assume he's the greatest manager ever.
Well, Danny, right.
We've been fair when we've talked about his good decisions, and we've been fair when we talked about his bad ones. And you know that's part of the job. But
it's definitely part of the job.
You know how much he's getting paid relative to everybody else. He's the second highest paid manager in the league. This is part of what comes with that.
Yeah, but he's getting paid less than, like, 19 guys on the team make more than him? My point is that in victory and defeat, managers do not matter nearly as much as we make them out to. Like, if the Cubs come back and win, it will be because the players executed. And if the Cubs lose, it will be because the players did not execute. This is a baseball manager that we're talking about. And the front office, like, by the way, the idea of, like, they should have made more moves at the deadline. What starting pitcher or pitchers were traded at the deadline that are shoving this postseason?
So basically the Cubs never should have gotten rid of David Ross then. I mean, weren't we all throwing a party when the Cubs thought ahead enough to go and try to get Craig Dam counsel? Like, isn't he supposed to have some meaning? Isn't he supposed to be worth wins? Or you wouldn't have paid him what you paid him. And you certainly wouldn't have done what you did to Grandpa Rossi.
And by the way, if they do win this series as the team that is more injured with less talent, then there will be some credit that goes around that, and he will get some of it. But I would say he would still get an outsized amount of credit for it. Like, it is $8 million, man, is a ton of money for a manager who in this case is also a member of the front office, right? Like, Craig has a lot of influence in how the Cubs organization is being run and restructured top to bottom. Like, he is a partner with Jed Hoyer in this whole thing in terms of the lower levels of the organization all the way on up. But I just think in general, like, Aaron Boone, I think, gets way more crap than he deserves for the Yankees not winning a World Series. Like, it's a baseball manager. Like, you have to... Your players have to produce, and they have to come through. And I think that criticisms of the front office and ownership of not adding more at the deadline, I just think that that is way more valid. And I understand people are listening to this and rolling their eyes and be like, you're friends with the guy. I don't want to overstate the friendship. I'm consistent on this. I didn't think that whatever White Sox manager was the biggest problem. The players sucked. Like, the players have to be good enough. And if you guys, maybe the argument is that if they had a better manager, they'd be better than the Brewers. I look at the Brewers and I just think that they are flatly a better baseball team, which is an indictment on the whole organization, given that the Cubs spend way more money on their team than the Brewers do. So you're right, Layla. Of course it comes with the job, and he of course can handle the criticism. He doesn't, that doesn't bother him at all. My point is, I would rather the attention be paid on Kyle Tucker. And like, are we going to give him $350 million when he's got five singles these playoffs and a couple of walks?
No, and like, I agree with that part too.
And no extra base hits. Like, he's a much bigger piece of this equation than the manager is.
Well, you wouldn't pay him?
And the Brewers, I mean, and also Danny, we're talking to Danny Parkins. You know him well, host on Fox Sports 1 now. Joining us from what we think is a wardrobe closet on Twitch. Where are you at Fox Sports 1 today, Danny?
Yeah, I'm in Nick Wright's dressing room.
Ooh, that's better, right? Be careful. Is there a time limit? Yeah.
I think you need to be.
He needs to come in here and like the next. He needs to come in like 15 minutes or so. Okay. So we got
just take one of the suits and just move it. See if he notices.
He wouldn't. He definitely would not notice. He's got a lot of very expensive clothes in here.
And not to cut it off, but just to reset and tell everybody who you are and you're on our show. I also just want to point out that I appreciate you saying that you know Craig Counsell the way you do, and you acknowledge it, because it is important to say that, and I think that that is good for the argument. But I just know that this is part of the expectation fans have. You're right, though. The more consistent players, at least you know who you're going to get, they are on the Brewers. Like, by amount of players who you know what they're going to do, I feel like there's a more likely outcome from Peralta, per se, on the mound, or even the lineup 1 through 4. Like, you know, Christian Yelich is somehow going to get on base. We talked a lot about Bryce Terang. Those guys have been more consistent for their team. That's why they end up winning 97 games.
Right. Like, which team has the better pitching staff?
Yeah, I mean, and right now, you know, that may be the biggest toss-up, but Freddy Peralta is going to go more innings for you.
Danny,
that alone is different than what we've seen out of the Cubs starters.
I do not fear the Milwaukee Brewers starting pitching beyond Freddy Peralta, and I get it, that's a big beyond, but are you afraid of Quinn Priester? No. Are you afraid of Jose Quintana? No. Are you afraid of Aaron Ashby? Like, I'm seeing, and this might be a thought exercise. You could tell me that, Danny, if it is or is not, but I'm seeing you find a way to get through Peralta today, and I might be picking the Cubs to win that game, because I just don't have a healthy fear for anybody other than Freddy Peralta.
I mean, what a great manager then. What a great manager. I mean, that would be incredible, overcoming the 97 win juggernaut. No, I think that that Pat Murphy has had a few more healthy arms that he could go to over the course of his team. Like, the Cade Horton injury was very poorly timed for the Cubs with when it happened, and they definitely have a better lineup, and they deserved home field because they were a best team in baseball over the course of 162. And so I think they've been better. Of course the Cubs can win. That's the small sample size of the baseball playoffs. If they're going to win, it's not going to be because Craig Counsell pulled some magical lever. It's going to be because Kyle Tucker found his power, or Ian Happ found his power, or hell, maybe Nico Horner keeps getting hits and Seiya Suzuki or Michael Bush. Maybe that's enough to carry him, because those guys have been great. But I just don't think enough arms are healthy and enough hitters have been good in order to really believe that this team is capable of going on a run.
Let me give you a snapshot of what they're saying on the text line, Danny, because it's perfect. It's so perfect.
That's
so
fine.
Here comes your report card on the text line. Preach it, Danny. Danny is 100% right here. About time. 1,000,000%. They are not losing because of the manager. Then it gets into Raya. Is Parkins officially out of town stupid now? Corey in Whitewater, Wisconsin. Danny is to baseball names as Grody is to music lyrics. So is that not a perfect snapshot of the score text line, Danny?
Yeah, whatever the guy's name is. Colin, 34-year-old, who gives a crap? That's what his name is. Like, the point is he's not supposed to be this important. Like,
you're right.
That's the point. And so that's more about like the setup of the organization and the situation that they find themselves in. And there's just, like, based on the guys on the team and what they make, we talk way more about, like, Jameson Taillon makes 2.3 times what Craig Counsell does. Like, Shota Imanaga makes 2.5 times what Craig Counsell does. And we have this unbelievable, like, man, the manager's the one who is swinging the bat and throwing the ball and catching the ball. And he just isn't for any baseball team, for Pat Murphy, for Aaron Boone, for Craig Counsell, for that's the end of the list of managers that I can name. But like, that's the reality of the situation. And people don't like that because fans buy Kyle Tucker jerseys or they buy Ian Happ jerseys. And we want to, like, we care so much more about the players than we do the managers, and we should, but it also leads us to put way more blame on the manager than the players.
Perhaps a better example here is Dave Roberts, who's the highest paid manager, and he's also the manager of the Dodgers. So, you know, that kind of is that's a thing. You know what I'm saying?
Well, like, Layla, if you managed the Dodgers or I managed the Dodgers, they would still be awesome.
Yeah, exactly. But, and I think in part, they're also paying, like, occasionally Dave Roberts will decide the bullpen game, right? Like, that was much ballyhooed, you know, hey, the Dodgers threw a bullpen game in the World Series. And I counter with, they also had Shohei Ohtani for run support. You know, like, that's the other side of this. Their cute decisions are usually bolstered by the rest of the talent on the team.
Yeah, exactly. I think if your pitching decisions, like, the big gripes are like, hey, instead of Shota Imanaga, it should have been Colin Ray or Javier Assad. That's a Jed Hoyer thing. Like, that's just that is, to me, not, those are not good options. That is a tough spot to be in. And so, like, it's like, man, that manager really is terrible at managing the bullpen. Yeah, he's without any good. And this isn't counsel. I'm just saying in general, like. I covered a Royals team with Ned Yost, who won a World Series.
That's right.
Ned Yost was not a good manager. He was not a good manager, but he won a World Series because whenever he went to the bullpen, it was like, oh, I could go to Greg Holland, Kelvin Herrera, or Wade Davis. And they were all stars. Every single reliever never gave up a single run. So it was like any option that he chose was amazing. And all of a sudden, he was a World Series manager. Like, he didn't get smarter. He just got a great bullpen.
All right, Danny, let's switch to your other favorite coach in this town, and that would be Ben Johnson and the Chicago Bears. How you feeling about the 2-2 here as we head into the Washington game? How do you feel, sir, about your Chicago Bears?
Well, this game is the one I'm most excited for since the opener. Like, this game is amazing. We get to see so many things. We get to see Ben Johnson out of a bye for the first time. We get to see Caleb Williams v. Jaden Daniels, and he gets to try to, you know, wrestle that conversation back into neutral on who the best quarterback of the 2024 class is. By the way, best touchdown to interception ratio since the Hall of Fame game. Since the Hail Mary game. So since the Bears lost on the Hail Mary last year to Washington.
Yes.
Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Caleb Williams.
Well.
Yeah.
Best touchdown to interception ratio in all of the NFL.
Good stuff.
So we get to see if Ben Johnson, what type of difference maker he is. Like, I don't know if the Bears are going to win, but I will be floored if they play a bad game. Like, I will be very surprised and disappointed if Caleb isn't sharp, if the operation isn't sharp, if the running game isn't a little improved. Like, there are some things on the team that I just think are going to be problems all year. You know, I don't know that Grady Jarrett and TJ Edwards are enough to solve the run defense. It should be better, but not totally improved. Obviously, we got to figure out the tackle situation on the offensive line. But, like, I'm just very excited to see what this team looks like coming out of the bye. And there's, with what happened in the game against Washington last year, with Caleb v. Jaden in the draft class, with the fact that Ben Johnson, you know, could have gone and taken that Washington job potentially, and it went to Dan Quinn, and he went back to Detroit, and now he's coaching the Bears. Like, Tyreek Stevenson, I've loved his media tour this week, taking accountability for what happened on that Hail Mary. Like, there's a lot there for this game, and if the Bears lay an egg, I will be shocked and very disappointed.
Danny,
so I'm very much looking forward to seeing it.
We love you, and I will send you a pronunciation key for the bull. They have a guy named Shota Imanaga. We'll work on that one with you.
What did I say?
No, you didn't say. I'm just anticipating potentially.
He
it's
already
Jameson
said it.
Tyone.
He said it right.
No, I know.
I said their names.
Yeah, you did.
I know
you,
those guys.
You said them right.
Colin Ray.
Yeah.
Okay. Who cares?
It's all right. We sent Kyle Schwarber to 3 different states today. Like, I said his high school was Iowa, it was Ohio. And then somebody pointed out that he went to college in Indiana. And I'm like, yes, he's taken a Midwest tour. A Midwest tour. Yeah.
By the way, there was once upon a time to the texter who's accusing me of being out of town stupid.
Yeah.
I'm the same Sam Mustafer, Max Rustafer. Like, come on. I've been doing this when I was there, when I'm not there. So whatever. That's not the point. The point of language is to convey a thought. It's not to necessarily be 100% correct all the time.
I agree. I called Lauren Spiegel today, so I 100% understand.
You had a heck of a moment right there. You got twisted up in all sorts of different things.
Making me laugh. Danny, this has been fun. Go steal one of Nick Wright's suits. Let us know where it ends up.
Love you, Danny.
You know what's embarrassing about that, Layla? Real quick, if you guys have 10 seconds.
It's all right. It's a Friday.
Before I got so Nick and I are basically the exact same size. My arms are just a little longer than his. So when I was doing radio in Chicago, when Nick's wardrobe would cycle through like every 6 months, I would get a box sent to me with like 10 suits.
Aww.
So I have like 30 old Nick Wright suits.
You have hand-me-downs from Nick Wright. That's fantastic.
And Nick is a hell of a dresser. He and his wife both are.
Yeah, exactly. And so, but now I'm like, I have no use for any of this stuff. And then I got this job and I still have no use for it because then Fox just buys my clothes. But anyway, so yeah, I actually could try on anything that you see in this closet right now. But sorry, guys. Go have a great day. And I hope Craig Council calls the home run play tonight.
We'll cook up a friendly prank and we'll let you know what Craig does. So thanks, Danny.
Later, buddy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time. Stacy, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Doing well. How are you?
You know, I got the hugest kick out of the Joe Flacco trade. Not because I think that it's a great trade or if I even care if a 40-year-old quarterback changes team. Just the idea that the Bengals have given up a fifth rounder for a sixth rounder in Joe Flacco, and now he's got a chance to be a Chicago legend. He can beat Green Bay twice in 1 year. He's already beaten them with Cleveland. If he could beat them again with Cincy, wouldn't that be something spectacular?
So I was at that Cleveland game, Mully, and it was painful to watch. So I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't anticipate the same performance from the Green Bay Packers this time around. But, you know, Joe is he's one of these guys where if he gets time in the pocket and protection and, you know, we'll see how, you know, he's coached up there with Cincinnati, but, you know, he's a guy who can learn quick. And so you're hoping you have the success that he had a couple of years ago, including when he rallied that team. But, yeah, they're down to two rookies in Cleveland now. Like, the stories in the NFL are always perplexing and they always, you know, pop our eyes open each year. And both of those teams are the exception.
What do you expect from the Bears Monday night against the Commanders? How will they stop Washington's running attack, which is number one in the NFL, and I think poses as many problems for a Bears defense as Jaden Daniels?
Yeah, I think that you've got to score a lot of points to go in and beat them on the road, period, if you're the Bears. And they've proven they can. I think Chicago, you know, to be where they're ranked currently, I think they're right around 10th in terms of David points per game. They can score now. I mean, and we see the talent showing up for Chicago offensively, and we'll see what they do with their offensive line. But I think it's got to be a shootout, and certainly the run, you know, issues are a point of contention for this Bears defense. They're allowing, you know, not just from a running standpoint, but they're allowing 7 yards per play, which is the worst mark in the league. And they've only had 5 sacks. Like, there's been a challenge to get not only pressure but stop the run. Like, usually a team, you know, when they get something, they give something up in some respects. And I think for the Bears, it's all coming at once. I mean, they've given up 15 straight games of over 100 rush yards. Wow. And when I look at this Commanders team, I mean, this kid, Bill, Ja'Cory Bill Krosky Merritt, he is – I was on the phone with a couple of people yesterday with this team and – or discussing this team, and his slippery nature, his explosive nature, I mean, he's averaging 5 yards after contact. So let's hope TJ Edwards is good to go, right? to supplement this Bears run defense. This kid is leading the National Football League with 7 yards per carry. I mean, they are. You said it. They're the number one rushing offense in football. They draw it up, they execute it, and they get the job done there. And Jaden Daniels hasn't been 100% over the last few weeks. We obviously saw him win Sunday on the road and play his best game of the season. So if I'm the Chicago Bears, I've got to go in there and outscore the Washington Commanders.
The Bears coming off the bye has been a horror story. They got one win since 2014. Now, obviously, it's a different team. We heard that from Ben Johnson when he was asked about the last year's game. He wasn't there for it. It's a different team. He has done pretty well the last 2 years with the best offense in football, scoring 40-plus points off the bye. Let's hope that he knows a little something about being able to learn things off a bye week as opposed to the Bears.
Yeah, and I think that goes back to who Ben Johnson is. He's a solution-oriented teacher, and I think that this will benefit this team exceptionally well. I remember last year, the Bears were 4-2. I had them in London. They go into the bye, they come out of the bye, and they go into a Hail Mary against Washington, and their trajectory plummeted. And I just, I cannot forget that, witnessing what happened last year after that Washington game and how one game completely derailed the season for the Chicago Bears. A lot of people then said Tyreek Stevenson should have been cut from the roster. And that's how severe that situation was. But this is a completely, Ben said it yesterday as we watched his press conference, this is a completely different team. He is a completely different coach. And to rally these guys back to the record that they have right now, the Bears, at 2-2, is impressive. And to win on the road, against the Raiders is impressive. To me, because it's hard to win in the NFL, it's hard to win on the road, and that was their first really, obviously, outside of the Detroit Lions in week two, that was their first road win. So this is going to be another primetime opportunity. I think Caleb has improved substantially, and I think that, again, they've got to go in and outscore, but coming out of the bye, we'll see who they are under Ben Johnson.
I think it's also been impressive to see Tyreek Stevenson's growth in 4 games this year. It's only a quarter of a season, but he is already more fundamentally sound. He's already more aggressive, and he hasn't lost the confidence. That said, if I'm Washington and I'm Cliff Kingsbury, I'm going to test that this weekend. On Monday night. I'm going to go after him because I do want to know where his head is at. Where do you think his head will be at Monday night against the Commanders in the same building that he made the most infamous play of his career?
Yeah, I think that there's a step in maturity that I've seen with Tyreek Stevenson this season, and he's been forced to. When you're on a roster and you're now the guy because of the attrition from an injury standpoint, what are you going to do with that? Like, where does your opportunity stand in your own mind? And I think because of the injuries to the Bears secondary, substantial injuries, and Kyler Gordon seems to be on track to come back Monday, David, but he's been forced to take a step in maturity. I was really, really intrigued by, I'm not sure if you saw him sitting with Kevin Byard in the discussion surrounding this Hail Mary thing on the podcast that Byard is associated with. I was really impressed with his, like, it's really sad in sports that you can, or in life, that one bad moment can seemingly define you, right? Like, you know, he was young. He was, we've seen this from players across every level of sports, that he made a horrific decision jawing with the fans. They're going to replay this thing. Like, I wondered actually how the Bears were going to insulate him this week from this. Hmm. And I think they're going to have him speak once. I think it probably will be today. So that'll be interesting to hear from him. Also a good day because the Cubs play. So, you know, we'll see how big the base is, but the Cubs are still playing. So this would be a really ideal day for him to speak. But until this game is so important for him, because until he can get past reliving this place, like, that's where it happened. You know, I remember things in my career from who I didn't defeat, who constantly beat me, to who I beat all the time, to a missed layup at a certain venue, or where I played poorly.
Who was your biggest nemesis? Who was your biggest nemesis, Stacey?
I played terribly at Madison Square Garden. I couldn't hit the freaking basket for a mile. And in college, I couldn't beat Iowa State. But I always beat Kim Mulkey. She never got me once. Couldn't beat Gino.
That brings a smile to your face. It just does.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But,
yeah.
Like, he's got to go play well, and he has to play well, not just for himself, but for his team, because they have so much attrition in the backfield.
He has no problem talking about it. Like, he's been everywhere talking about it. I've read all these stories. It's like I think it's great the way he's handled it. And, what's kind of confounding to me is, even after he started playing well, you heard from Dennis Allen, who said something along the lines of, like, we're constantly reminding him he has to focus. We're constantly – and I took that to mean he doesn't have great practice habits. If you're going to him every day saying, hey, you know, you got to focus. Don't forget. You got to pay attention. You got to do – like, that tells me that there's still – something going on. But the kid has had one hell of a year, and you're right. I mean, I wasn't sure he'd be on this team.
Yeah, a lot of people argued, Molly, that he at that time should have been cut. I remember having this conversation a week later with you.
Yeah.
And I was of the mindset, and I was of the opinion that, you know, he's a talented guy you need on your roster.
Right
now, he's their best corner.
Yes.
So
he is.
And he has played like it the last couple of weeks. So, I think he's been forced to mature, and he has. And he's answered some bells, but I think this game on Monday is, he's got to take it personally. You got to take it personally when you go on the road in any sport. And I think that this young man is going to do that on Monday. We'll see, though, because, gosh, the Commanders are starting to come alive a little bit. That was a really good win on the road against the Chargers. It was a very good win, despite the Chargers talk about attrition. Their offensive line has taken a downward turn.
And they lost both running backs.
They lost running backs, yeah.
They did.
So
they did.
Stacey, the Commanders probably feel like they're good enough to win the NFC. And I think when you look at the big picture view of everything going on in the NFL, I think if I were in Washington, I would have the same sentiment, because there isn't really a dominant team. You could look at the Eagles, but they showed over the weekend they're vulnerable. Who's the best team in the NFL in your mind?
It's hard to say after we saw Buffalo lose to New England. I think right now this is the most parity that I've seen in a long time.
Hmm.
I mean, to see even like with Jacksonville beating Kansas City, like there's a shift in this thing, and I think what we've known is, like, I was witness to it last year in the NFC when Washington goes in, I'm in Detroit, and they beat Detroit to go on to the NFC Championship, and then I'm there in Philly covering these teams, you know, a divisional matchup. Like, any given Sunday, it feels like, for me in the NFL right now, which is why Chicago could go in and beat Washington on Monday. I don't know who the best team is in the AFC or NFC right now. Denver looked pretty damn good this weekend. I mean, to beat Philly on the road in Philly the way that they did and the way that these quarterbacks have taken coaching, there's a shift in the guard in this league, and these young quarterbacks that take coaching are having success. Like Liam Cohen and Trevor Lawrence are having success. Drake May and Josh and Vrabel are having success. Bo is having success. I think Caleb is having some success with Ben. What I appreciated, guys, and I've said this every week with Ben Johnson, there's a transparency about him. He has acknowledged, like, he's not standing at the podium saying, oh, I like where we're going, we're getting better. He's saying, hey, our run game isn't good enough. We're not getting enough pressure on the quarterback. We're not stopping the run. Our screen game sucks. Like, he's saying all these things to us. And so we're able to put a meter on what the Bears are doing. And I appreciate that out of a head coach. And I think that the Bears will have success because of it.
The Lions might be the best team in the league, to be honest with you.
But, oh, you want me to answer the question?
Well, you
right?
don't have to answer it, but I'm going to answer
I'll
it.
I'll answer it.
You know, the best story in the league, though, might be the Colts. That might be the best story.
Yeah.
You're right.
I
Indiana Jones.
Disagree.
Indiana Jones. How cool is that nickname?
Very cool. Love it.
Danny Dimes turns Indiana Jones.
I was on our show last week on NFL Network, and we were talking in a production meeting about what to hit. And because it's so early in the year, you're coming up with different topics and themes for the week. And, you know, I get kind of like, talking about the NFC North all the time is like, it's so automatic for me. But at the time, it's Eagles, Lions, to answer your question, Molly. And
yes.
Lions. I know they just played the Bengals, but the coordinator changes. The common denominator is the leadership in their locker room and the continuity they have with their quarterback. I think right now, I don't like making comparisons, but Jared Goff and Amon-Ra St. Brown is a little taste of Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams in Green Bay.
Ouch.
And the way that they connect, the way that he's able to be his blanket.
You're right.
And
it's a sure thing.
It's a sure thing. You know, when the ball goes to Amon-Ra, it's a touchdown, or it's a first down, or it's a money down. Like, the defense is. Terrion Arnold's a big injury with the shoulder, but like the defense is getting Aleem McNeil back. Like I do feel, you know, go back to the NFC North here, but like Detroit is legit. I am fascinated by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are scoring at an electric rate. And, you know, you think of MVPs right now in the National Football League, you talk about Jared Goff, you talk about Dak Prescott, you talk about Baker Mayfield. Dak doesn't have the wins. Baker's getting the wins. And Jared, you're almost just counting on him. Like, I think those three guys are playing at a really extraordinary level efficiently. And it's been fun to watch. And Detroit will have the Bucks in a couple weeks because I'll be there for that one, too.
Quickly, Stacey, what do you think we'll be talking about Tuesday morning? What do you expect to happen Monday night in D.C.?
Expect it to be a close game. I expect it to be a high-scoring affair. It's hard to put a crystal ball on it, Dave, but like, we're going to be talking about if the Bears can't stop the run and they can't run the ball. And I think that until they get that fixed, you can't win in this league if you do neither.
Yeah.
And especially on the road, you've got to control the ball on the road. And that comes with running the football, and you've got to stop the run and give your defense a breather. Because when the hardest thing that defensive players tell me, guys, is, How exhausted they feel after a team runs it up their throat on a 75-play drive. Like, that is so gassing to your defense. And it's also demoralizing, because the one thing they take pride in is the ability to stop the run. And so you better get that fixed going into Washington.
Great stuff, Stacy. Thank you. Appreciate your time, as always.
You guys rock. We'll talk soon.
All right.
That is Stacy Dales. Always fun to talk to.
Excellent overview of what things are at House Hall and the way things are around the league.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.